Good morning. It is good to see you this morning. I apologize for the delay. We want to remind you of a couple of announcements before we get into our worship time. We do have evening service tonight. I will be bringing a message, speaking in the Gospel of Matthew regarding John the Baptist and his pointing to the Christ, and I encourage you to come tonight. You can be a part of that. Next Sunday evening, we will have church conference, 5:30 in the evening service. We encourage you to come, be a part of that. And if you can volunteer for devotionals during the halftimes of the Upward Games, there is a great desire, a need for folks to sign up. Contact the church office. You can talk to Brother Steve and get those names in there and help this ministry. It's a great opportunity to reach the parents and the guardians that are coming and watching their children play a game. Great opportunity to get the Word of God to them. So please do that. We do encourage you to read your bulletin. There are a lot of announcements coming up. Brother Houston will have a few announcements regarding the music. But I was asked right before the service, personnel committee and the music minister search committee will be meeting immediately after this service is concluded. The place to meet will be up in the Cornerstone Sunday School class. That is Brother Joe McClanahan's Sunday School class. So for those of you that are going to make that meeting, that is where you'll be located after our service is concluded. Our deacon prayer will be led this morning by Brother Garrett Ritter, and he'll be coming at this time to lead us in that prayer. I will be back here in a little bit. Brother Houston.
Bow with me, please. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to come to your house and worship and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I thank you for your sunshine after the rain and just all that you bless us with, and for this season of the holidays that we've had to reflect on your love for us and the joy of giving, Lord. I pray that as we look into this new year that we pause and take time to reflect on our duty to serve you, to honor you, and to look forward to fulfilling those obligations throughout this year, finding ways to serve you better, serve you together, Lord. I pray that you bless this service. I pray that you bless Brother Robert as he brings a message in this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Just have a few quick announcements concerning our music here at the church. First, tonight at 5:30, the children's choir will get up and running again. That's grades 1st through 5th grade. So tonight at 5:30, back in the music suite. And we encourage you parents to bring your kids and come on over here for the evening service also. And as soon as the evening service is over, that's when children's choir will be done. Okay, so tonight at 5:30. Also, I want to give another invitation. It was on our announcement screens. But starting Wednesday night, the choir is going to be beginning their Easter cantata rehearsals, which we will be present on April 2nd. So we'd like to extend the invitation for anybody that would like to join us. The youth are also encouraged to attend if they would like to sing. I went over and invited them this morning at their Sunday school. And so if you notice on our announcement screen, we didn't put adult choir. I have FBC choir now because we want it to be for more than just the adults now. So if you're interested, either see me or see any of our choir members or just show up Wednesday at 7:15 in the music suite, we'd be glad to have you. We would love to just fill up this stage for Easter and all. Okay, and the third thing is on January 29th is our fifth Sunday singing, and there are sign-up sheets out there on the Welcome Center if you'd like to sign up or sign up for a hymn that you'd like to hear, or if you'd like to do a solo or an ensemble, anything you'd like to do, the sign-up's out there, and that'll be on the 29th at 5:30. And following the fifth Sunday singing, we will have a fellowship honoring Betty since she just retired as one of the secretaries here at the church. So hopefully you can join us on the 29th for the fifth Sunday singing and the fellowship following that after that. Okay, now we are in the house today to worship God. Amen. And that's what we're going to do. Let's stand as we begin singing, "Here I Am to Worship."
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Together loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake you became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Amen.
Song again, whatever may be there. sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and
praise God for that, and thank you for joining in. Our next song will be To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who and atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly the Father through Jesus the Son.
Our Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that we can be here today. We're thankful for this wonderful crowd, for this wonderful time to sing your praises. We just ask that we all glorify you in every way. We ask that you be with Brother Robert as he brings a message this morning. Just ask you be with all as we go our way. We ask you be with those that are sick and cannot be here. Just heal them. We especially ask you for all the ways you've blessed us. We praise you for your gift of salvation. We just ask that you would take these tithes and offerings and use them to the furtherance of your kingdom. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm desperate for you.
Thank you, Brother Houston and choir, and all of you participating in singing as we worship our God this morning. We're going to begin a new series, and I pray that you have a desire to learn and to grow through this series. I believe it can be very instructive and helpful for us. It is a series on worship, coming out of some particular psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. There are 15 psalms that are identified in the scripture as songs of ascents. And they are those hymns that were formulated and put together in the psalm booklet for the purpose of preparing oneself for worship. Pilgrims would come from the northern part, the southern part of Israel, and the Jewish men were especially required to come to the three main feasts of the Jews in those days. It was the Passover feast, there was a Pentecost feast, and then a Feast of Booths, and there were other feasts, but those were the three main feasts that were required by God for the Jewish men to come, and usually those men brought their families for the opportunity to worship their God and to give him thanks and praise for all the provisions they made for them. And so these songs were put together to prepare one's heart as they came into the presence of God there in Jerusalem. And they're called Song of Ascents because no matter where you were in the land of Israel, you had to go up to get to Mount Zion. Jerusalem was built on Mount Zion, the highest point in the land of Israel. And so no matter where you were, you had to go up. And so they were songs of coming up to God for worship. And so they were identified as such. And each of the songs provides a certain aspect of preparation. A few weeks ago, and it was in late November, we used Psalm 121 in preparing our hearts for the Advent season, preparation for an opportunity to celebrate the Lord, and we utilize that psalm. And so we will skip over Psalm 121 next week, being Psalm 122, but we start in Psalm 120 this week, and I pray that as we're approaching worship in this place and wherever we find ourselves, that we are thinking about these elements of preparation. We come to worship the Lord God to be in his presence, and he is a holy God. And by all means, we are imperfect. We will never come to him in perfection until we come to him in glory, when we are remade and our bodies are made anew. But he has put his spirit inside of his believing people to form us into the image of Jesus so that we're more and more like him. And through that sanctification process, we exercise self-control and the fruit of the Spirit in order to grow more like him. And these are reminders of that preparation process, not just for worship when we come to church here or any place on the earth, but when we finally get to glory, we'll have ourselves prepared. We'll know what's expected, what our hearts should be in the condition of in order to stand before holy God. And so I'm hopeful that through the process of this series, we will learn and grow together. This morning we'll look at, and the title is In Spite of Opposition or Persecution or Difficulties, as we prepare ourselves to come to worship, in spite of those things, having our hearts in the right manner before the Lord God. And so let's look together at Psalm 120. I'm going to read the entire chapter. There's only seven verses. And then we will pray and then look through this psalm and then find some elements there that will help us be prepared. The writer writes, "In my trouble I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree. Woe is me, for I sojourn in Meshech. I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Let's pray together. Father, as we focus attention this morning on this psalm and then look to you, we pray for understanding, spiritual comprehension of these words that were written. And the fact that they were written in preparation as a part of the process of coming into your presence, Lord God, may we find ourselves exercising that same discipline this morning so that we are found fit to be before you in worship. And then to discover, Lord, areas that we might need to see worked on by your Spirit and through the instruction of your word in the days to come. Thank you, Father, for such a privilege to worship you, to know you through Christ Jesus by his death and resurrection, by grace through faith in that work that he did. Lord God, may we know you better. Would be our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. This psalm has been credited to David. It is not listed as such, and there are some of these. Psalm 122, next time we meet together, will be a psalm of David, as noted in the subtitle to that psalm in my Bible, and hopefully as you look through your Bible, you'll find those kind of applications. The context for this particular psalm, scholars believe, is when David experienced persecution from an individual named Doeg, D-O-E-G. That's the best way I know to say it. Doeg. And it was a time in David's life when he was running for his life from King Saul. We find much of that in 1 Samuel chapter 21, 22. You find this particular account where David had gone and his escape from King Saul to a place called Nob. And there was a priest there who had other priests with him. His name was Ahimelech. And David sought help, some kind of help from him. And he needed provisions for his escape. And so he went to the priest, and the priest didn't have anything there but holy bread, but it was day old. And so he gave that to David. There was a sword there. It was David's sword that he had taken from Goliath after he killed Goliath. And he gave him that sword. And so he gave him some provisions. Well, Doeg happened to be there in Nob and witnessed this priest helping out David. In fact, he was receiving support from the priest, and later he reported that to King Saul. So King Saul called all of the priests, Ahimelech and all the other priests, to come to him. And when he asked them about it, they said, "Yes, we helped David. He said he was on a mission, and we felt compelled to help him as one of your captains." And so King Saul had them all killed. The priests were killed because they had helped David. David always felt shame and guilt that it was his fault that the priests had been wiped out, and he counted Doeg as an enemy. He knew that he could not trust Doeg. Doeg had betrayed him before the king. And so he was heavy laden with guilt and over this context. And the words of this song are an expression out of perhaps that situation. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord. We find it in David's psalms and even in 2 Samuel, whenever David had an issue, he cried out to the Lord. He knew where to go when he was in a time of distress or trouble. And he never hesitated to go to the Lord, to him. And here, this is the expression in this psalm: "In my trouble, I cried to the Lord." We can go to the Lord in good times, and we often fail to do that, because in the hard times are when we find ourselves on our knees and nowhere else to turn. Well, we can go to him in good times as well. But David never hesitated in times of trouble to go to the Lord. And he wrote that way. He said, "So I cried to the Lord. I brought my petition, a supplication, my trouble, my need to the Lord." This is really a good lesson for us. The marvelous thing to find here is he answered me. I cried to the Lord and he answered me. Listen, there is never a season that God will not answer your prayer. He may not answer it the way you want the prayer answered. He may give a no in his answer. He may say, "Not right now." He may provide the answer, and it may be before you can get the prayer off your lips, but he will always answer in season. There's never a time when God does not hear the prayers of his people and answer them according to what his will and purpose is in glory. The Lord God is faithful to that. I found one commentary that says, he always comes to us when we need his help. If the soul is dark, Christ can enlighten it. When the soul is doubting, Christ can bring assurance. When the soul's distressed, Christ can relieve that soul. When it's prideful, Christ can humble that soul. And when the soul is tempted, Christ can satisfy it. Every season of life, we know that we can call upon the Lord and he will answer. And David exercised that. In every season of his soul, cried out to the Lord. And we can learn that from him. We can cry out to the Lord. We can know that he will hear. And David was confident that the Lord heard him. I can ask you this, do you think David was relieved immediately? No. He was running for his life in this account. He knew he was in trouble. When he noticed Doeg was there, he thought to himself, oh, this might not be good. And he still escaped, and he went out to the wilderness, and he hid in caves. And it was a long time before Saul died. If you read from the accounts of chapter 21 and 22 in 1 Samuel, and you go all the way to chapter 30, many years had passed, and it was only until chapter 30 when the Lord took King Saul out of the picture, allowed him to be killed by the Philistines. It was a long time that David felt this pressure of the king, this persecution, this unnecessary hate from the king, but nevertheless he did. He called upon the Lord God, and he knew that the Lord would answer even if the answer was not right now. And so his specific request was, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. Now, he could have been referring to himself. And listen, we ought to do that from time to time. Question ourselves, what has my tongue been about this past week, this past month? Have my lips shared anything that's been deceitful or not true, meant to kind of manipulate? Lord, I give you permission to check me out. I think more specifically, David was maybe crying out to the Lord and saying, oh Lord, guard me from those lying lips that have come against me. Doeg misinterpreted the whole situation. The priests did not know that they were helping David escape from the king. David told them, I'm going on a mission, a secret mission, and the king has sent me here quickly, and I didn't have time to get provisions. So we find out that he was deceived. Maybe David was saying, oh Lord, forgive me for my deceitful tongue against this priest that cost him his life. But we can also know that he was concerned about the fact that Doeg had betrayed him through deceitful words, through misunderstanding of what he saw with his eyeballs. Listen, sometimes the greatest betrayal is someone saying something about us that may not be right or true, only by perception seeing what they think they see and not speaking the truth. This is what David experienced. Someone saw something and they assumed and they made a statement and it cost people their lives. There's a reason that God, within the Ten Commandments, included one that said, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lie. You shall not tell untruths, deceit. Because it's a dangerous weapon. We've heard the thing, sticks and stones break my bones, words never hurt me. Listen, words can kill. Words can ruin reputations. Words can ruin a person's life if we're not careful with them. And James said the tongue is like it's a little bitty member within the whole body, but man, it can guide the whole thing like a rudder on a ship. It's underneath. Nobody ever sees the rudder, but it's what guides the whole vessel. Our tongues have a lot of control. Another illustration James used, it's like a flaming fire. It can cause a whole forest to burn down. It's destructive. David recognized that about Doeg. He perhaps recognized it about himself. I shouldn't have lied to the priest. He never would have died. These other priests maybe perhaps would never have died had I not told a deceptive thing. But you can be sure he was thinking about Doeg as well. He'd been betrayed through a tongue, someone speaking. Jesus contended with those who came against him, misunderstanding his mission, who he was, why he'd come. And he said to these men, he said, "You're of the father, the devil. You want the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies." And he was saying to them, "Y'all are liars, just like your father, the devil." And what's the reward for the devil? I can tell you, I've read the end of the book, and many of you have. He will be cast into the lake of fire and destroyed at the end. No good comes from those who habitually use their tongue as a deceitful weapon against others. David knew this. So he rhetorically asks, "What shall be given to you? What shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue?" in verse 3. And it's rhetorical because he knows what the answer is. In fact, he gives it in the next verse, and he says, "Sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree." And if you don't do enough study, you say, "Oh, okay, well, okay, an arrow will do it, and burning coals." I thought it was important and interesting when I read one commentary, and the commentary said warriors were known to take their arrows and to sharpen them razor sharp so that when they hit their target, they would do great damage. Oftentimes, they would cover them with poison, dip them in poison before they fired them, or they would set them on fire so that when it hit and got deep inside, it was a fire inside the body that it struck. Destructive. And the other comment made was, if a warrior had a sword, he could be smiting and he could stop it at any time. But once an arrow is let loose from the bow, there is no stopping it. Unless someone can happen to knock it out of the sky, it will find a target and it will do his damage. He says here, what shall be done for you, deceitful tongue? You will receive sharp arrows of the warrior. Just as you have struck out with sharp arrows and destroyed a life, your life will one day be destroyed, and that arrow will find its target. In the arrow of judgment, in God's eyes, he will find the target. He will not be mocked. We cannot sin without God knowing that we have sinned. And as for the burning coals of the broom tree or the juniper tree in some of your translations, that wood has a unique quality, whereas it burns at a very high temperature and then it maintains that heat for a very long time. They made coals out of the juniper tree, broom tree. They made coals, and we use coals for barbecue. You throw it in there, it maintains a heat, it starts a fire, and that's what they use the broom tree and the juniper tree for. And it's interesting that what would be the wages of my deceitful tongue but that there would be a fiery judgment brought against me, one that would be maintained, one that burns to a higher degree than all other fires. That's the representation that's brought here as David is bringing this. What's the judgment for a deceitful tongue? And again, I remind you, David might be talking about himself. "Oh, my tongue that brought this upon these." He knew what the judgment would be for deceit. It was the death of these men, and it pained him so. He had great shame. He had regret. In verse 5, he makes an admission here. And maybe it's an admission of his own guilt or an admission of his circumstances. "Woe is me, I sojourn in Meshech. I dwell among the tents of Kedar." These are two different cities. One, Meshech, is up in the northern part of Israel, and Kedar is down in the southern part. In fact, where Ishmaelites' descendants were, which Ishmaelite was an Arabian. He was the child born that was not a child of promise. Abraham's wife gave him Hagar. Hagar, the child of that was Ishmael. And that is what is now the Arabian peoples who come against Israel at any given time. The sworn enemies, lifelong enemies, and then the son of Abraham was Isaac, the son of promise, and through him came Jacob and the nation of Israel. And so we have this division, and these people down in the south were barbarous, as were the people in the north. And here the writer, David, supposedly says, woe is me. And woe is always a term used for lamenting or mourning or inspection and going, oh no. In fact, it was used by Isaiah the prophet in chapter 6, if you remember that famous standing where he was before the throne of God and he saw the glory of God and his train filled the temple and there was glorious angels singing and honoring the Lord God. And Isaiah was convicted and he said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. A self-understanding that even though he was a prophet of God and in the first five chapters had already prophesied on the behalf of God, he acknowledged, I'm not always perfect in my speech. I'm not always perfect in what my tongue does. Woe is me. Lamentation, mourning, regret, confession, admission to God. I know this about myself. Well, not only that, but he's admitting being in the association with these. I have sojourned. I've traveled through that land. And even traveling sometimes through associations, through different periods of time in our life where we go through different places where we're with certain kind of folk or certain kind of element, we find ourselves having to struggle more to remain holy. I remember working different kinds of jobs, and in each of those settings, sometimes the element there was worldly and secular rather than godly. And I had to make sure that my own soul was in check and I wasn't picking up habits and things that were dishonorable to the Lord while I was in those settings. Woe is me when I pick up those habits. And here the psalmist is admitting, woe is me. As I've traveled through the north, I've been in association with certain people for a certain period of time, and Lord help me if I picked up any of those kind of habits. Or in the south where there's a barbarous people who are the known enemies of your people. Lord God, I've been there too long. I've dwelt among the tents. That is, I've lived in that area. The admission that's brought here is a good reminder as we're thinking about our approach to worship. Am I willing to be transparent with myself and to see myself the way the Lord sees me? Yes, in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord for the grace that opened my eyes that I might know him and be cleansed of my sin and have the assurance of eternal life. Praise the Lord for that. And may the Lord help me each and every day as he's sanctifying me, making me into his image, that I become more like him and less like I have been or like the world. And here's where the psalmist is getting it right as he's approaching worship. And he, by himself or in a group, as they're singing together, Lord God, help me. No matter what opposition I've experienced, what persecution I've experienced, or what personal sin I've carried in my life, Lord God, help me to be made right when I get in your presence. This is his cry. Look at verse 6. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. Have you ever felt that way? Too long I've been around this certain group of people and I've noticed that they've impacted me and I haven't maintained the integrity that I've been called to. Here, he makes an admission, too long has my soul had its dwelling. It sounds a lot like the Apostle Paul in the New Testament when he says, how long will I have this body of death? Who will deliver me from this body of death, this existing in this world where there's sin abounding? How long will I have to be here? It's great to know that you have this reality. Folks, the world is not getting better and better. I don't want to blow anybody's bubble. We live in a world where the Christian influence is getting smaller and smaller because the ungodly are getting more and more. We have to maintain holiness and righteousness. And you and I cannot do it on our own. In our flesh, we will fail miserably. Here, David knew that. He's relying on the Lord. Lord, I'm crying out to you that you might hear my prayer because here's my bind. Not only have I been persecuted by someone with deceitful lips and a lying tongue, but there's a strong likelihood that I've participated in that myself and that through my own doing, I have impacted people in a negative way. And Lord God, I know what the judgment is for that. The judgment for that is that there is an arrow of your judgment that will find my heart if I don't get my things right. There's a fiery judgment awaiting all of those who would reject you. And I know that I've sojourned through the places where it's been difficult and where the world has its way. And I know that I've even dwelt in the places where I've been impacted negatively. And he's coming with an honest realization before the Lord as he's approaching worship. Lord God, help me. Cleanse me. Make me right. Help me to be sanctified. Help me to be refined. Help me to yield to your refining fires so that they don't become judgment fires. That's where we should find ourselves, right here with this one. In his declaration in verse 7, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. To acknowledge, listen, you and I are called, and the New Testament emphasizes this more than one time. But we are called by the Lord God to do what we can to make sure that we've done everything that's been expected of us to maintain holiness, even in the midst of difficulty. I would take you to Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. If you have your Bibles, look along at this as I read. Chapter 12 of Romans, verse 17 to 21. Paul is writing in his closing chapters, and more like application of the doctrine he had already presented in the Roman letter. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Not just selected ones, not just to the ones that are okay. And it's okay to take the ones that are truly wicked and do evil back. No, don't return evil for evil to anyone. Respect what's right in the sight of all men. Listen, that will go a long way. Even if they don't follow you, they will respect that you've chosen the right thing. Do what's right in the sight of all men, if possible. Listen to this. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, I love that verse because it gives us an understanding as much as it depends on you. You know what? It's our responsibility to do the right thing, to be at peace with others. Does that always work? Not always. There are times when your efforts at making peace will fall on deaf ears, that there will be those who will insist upon war, they will insist upon difficulty, they will insist upon making your life a living hell. But you have the responsibility, as much as is in you, to make sure you're at peace with all people. It is your responsibility, O believer. And I don't withhold this, as the Apostle Paul didn't withhold it, I don't withhold it from you. Never take your own revenge. Oh, it's so tempting to get back at somebody, to return a social media response and cut them down online. It is so tempting to want to make them smaller than me. Listen, don't take your own revenge, beloved. And that's talking to the church, talking to people who belong to the Lord. Leave room for the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The Lord has already promised by the declaration of this word, he's going to take care of stuff one day. And listen, not in my time and not in your time, but in his time. That's hard for us to swallow. We like to have control. We live in a time where we can just punch a button and have whatever we want. God's got a plan, and it's going to come to fruition. He will take revenge on the wicked. You know what? He's exercising great mercy by holding out until the last day so that those who will hear the word of eternal life might respond and be saved. It is his mercy that is tarrying his coming to rescue his people. And we must say, Lord God, I don't understand it, but I trust you. You are right, you're God, you're holy, you have a plan in place. I want to get in line with what you're doing. Help me to have the kind of response to you that will say, okay, I may suffer through this. He never promised us we wouldn't suffer. In fact, part of the response of the believer is to suffer for Christ, suffer with him, how much he went through for you and I to bear the brunt of our sin, not just my sin, but the sin of all sinners upon his body as he died on the cross. We owe him to respond to him in obedience, to respond to him with trust, even if we have to suffer a little bit. Listen to this. Do not take vengeance on yourself. Leave the room for the wrath of God. I will repay. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, then feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you'll heap burning coals upon his head. What in the world does that mean? That means that you will throw burning coals upon his head, and he'll either come under conviction and repent of his sin and trust the Lord God, or he will go on in his sin and he will experience the fiery hell that's awaiting all the wicked. We don't know. We're just called to feed or to give them water or to help them because that's what the Lord's commanded us to do through this prophet, through this apostle. We are supposed to do well to our enemies. Well, listen, that's hard to do. If you think, well, this is just Paul speaking out of his head, go back to the Sermon on the Mount and read through what Jesus says about loving your enemies. Somebody slaps you on the cheek, give them the other one. Someone wants to take your clothes, give them even your coat that would keep you warm at night. Somebody makes you walk a mile, go another mile. Those are hard things to do in reality, but that is what Christ has called us to do. We are to be at peace. And then the last thing, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And there's the clicker. Listen, as a child of God who has the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have now the capacity to shun evil and to embrace holiness and to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Word like you never have before. And as you're growing in Christ Jesus, you're becoming more mature, you're being made more and more able to do just that. It's hard. It's hard being a believer. Jesus said, when you come to follow me, guess what? You got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. There's nothing easy about any of that. Because the world's not going to follow him. We'll be by ourselves doing that. You got to deny what you want and what you think ought to happen. That's hard to do. And then take up the cross. Be ready to die at any given moment for me because I'm going to die for you. Nothing easy about what he's called us to as his people. But he has enabled us to do it. There are martyrs that are still dying today who are proving that trusting Christ is worth it. As Paul said, to live as Christ, to die as gain. Here this psalmist, this worshiper, as he's approaching worship, he comes to the place where he acknowledges perhaps his own sin, the sin of others against him, the persecution he's experienced. He doesn't have a right to return any vengeance on himself. He trusts the Lord with that vengeance. And he acknowledges, I am for peace. I love you, Lord. But even when I speak peace, there are those around me for war. The reality is, Lord God, I acknowledge you. And I thank you that you are bringing me to a place to come before you and to worship you. Help me, Father, to lose myself just as you did through Christ Jesus at the cross. To set yourself aside. Jesus, in those words, said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Oh, my God, why have you forsaken me? He laid aside the glory for a season. He allowed his holiness to be covered up with the sin of man because of his great love, that he might exercise grace and mercy toward those who trust him and love him. As we prepare our hearts for worship, we must acknowledge the Lord God, Father, Son, Spirit is worthy of our worship, that our preparation for coming into his presence is our work. And in spite of persecution, we're to come and honor, revere, and adore our Master, our Maker, our Finisher. We're to celebrate that we have experienced the same kind of suffering that Christ has suffered. That's what the disciples did after they suffered for Christ. They went away rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer for Christ. Well, if we could just gain that attitude, we would respond a lot differently. And what Jesus told his disciples before he went to the cross will come to fruition. Love one another, because it's by this love for one another that the world will know you're my disciples. May we be motivated and encouraged. Come, pay homage to our Redeemer, especially if we've experienced persecution in a season when we've recognized maybe I've been a part of persecuting someone else. I can find salvation, I can find forgiveness, and I can find a cleansing through Christ Jesus. I praise God that he sent his son to die on a cross, a death that I deserved, so that I might live forever and be considered righteous. I don't understand it all, but I do praise him for that. And I owe him my full allegiance, and so does every believer who's experienced that grace. What a great offering it would be that we could bring the Lord those who have persecuted us for our faith because we've extended the gift of eternal life to that enemy in spite of their attacks against us. And then behold that marvelous supernatural work of God in their life to bring them to a place to love the same God that you love and to know him in the same way through Christ Jesus that you know him. That's a different look at things. But that's really what the scripture is telling us. It's what the psalmist recognizes and acknowledges. When you read through chapter 22 and chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, notice how many times David had the opportunity to kill King Saul, but he restrained. Because he said, God will take care of this. I will trust God's timing. And listen, it was many years. Saul ruled 50 years, I believe, 40 or 50 years. David ran from him for a long time. He knew what he was talking about when he'd come to worship the Lord God. And some of his psalms are like, Lord God, I miss being in the temple. I miss worshiping with your people. I miss experiencing that presence that's inside that sanctuary. He was away from the temple for a long time, but he maintained a faithfulness to the Lord God. And I'm sure that he presented and prepared his heart each and every time he came before the Lord. We get to come every week. He couldn't go for many years. And he maintained that. And the Lord can maintain that in you if you'll trust him. I would like for us to consider how we might approach our Father every time that we have opportunity to worship him. Then we might do it with an introspection and not so much poor pitiful me, but Lord God, clean me up. I know you'll take care of my enemies. Now help me to be who you've called me to be. That's the most important thing. As we trust him and what he's provided, he's making us into his bride. And one day Christ will marry us in a ceremony in glory. Are we going to be prepared, blameless, and perfect? That's the point. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your provision, the opportunity to be able to come in this house and worship you, to sing songs, preparing our heart for worship, Lord God, to pray prayers and entrusting you with our needs. We thank you, Father, for the privilege to be able to give, to express our trust in you and our allegiance and our appreciation for the way you poured out abundance into our lives. Lord God, we thank you for the truth of your word that brings understanding and comfort and also a challenge, Father. Sometimes you just convict our hearts. I thank you for that, that as you're making us into the image of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, that Father God, we have the prospect of becoming your bride. Thank you, Father. I pray for anyone in this place this morning who does not know you personally as Savior and Lord, that they would be brought to the place to admit their sin, to surrender their hearts fully to Christ, and to experience life change, a supernatural rebirth, that, Lord God, they might have this same assurance that David did, that every believer has, We love you. Thank you for loving us first. And we pray these things in the powerful name of our Jesus, the Lord. Amen. Brother Houston, let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am in waiting not to win my soul of one dark blood to thee whose blood can cleanse his heart, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, side riches healing of the mind, tell me all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Lord God, as in this hymn, I come and yield to you, the righteous one, to accomplish your purposes in and through me. And Father God, help me to be found faithful to do that. I pray that on behalf of these in this place who have your ear this morning, Lord God, use us. We scatter from this place and become your people, your church in this community and in this state, Lord God, may you be represented faithfully, and may you be exalted. Lord God, help us to make you famous as you deserve to be, because we know one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you're Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, Lord God, put us on that mission this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I invite you again. Come back tonight. I'm prepared and I'm ready to teach. There is a meeting this afternoon, right after the service is over, so be sure you make your meeting.
All right, for our closing song, would you join me as we sing The Family of God?
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God.
Amen, and God bless you.